woods and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host. As we enter March all over the Great Lakes State here on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com is where you can pick up our podcast. And we want to welcome a new sponsor to the show, the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Joining us here, you can find them, uniteddeerfarmersofmichigan.com. Also, the truth about CWD.com, the website that is really keeping up to date with what's going on with CWD in Michigan. It's not just about farming big deer. It's about healthy herds in general, and we were going to be talking to them here down the road, but we wanted to give them an early welcome to here as sponsors of Wild Michigan. Also want to thank our friends at Conquest Sense, Doug Roberts and his crew in there in Davison, Michigan, makers of VS1 and Evercalm. And speaking to us from the Conquest Sense hotline right now is Mike Green from Not Just Guns, another fine sponsor of Wild Michigan. Not Just Guns, located in Mason, Michigan, on Cedar at 127. And Mike, the day we recorded is always your busiest day because the day after your firearms auction. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, doing real good.
Now, how did that? Last night's auction go?
It was phenomenal. We sold over 700 items.
Holy cow! And it's as the name implies, it's not just guns, correct?
That's correct. We had not only guns, ammo, optics, scopes, cases, cleaning kits, accessories. Ammunition, suppressors, steel targets, paper targets, range bags, you name it.
Now, when a suppressor goes to auction, I guess this is a question that you've just really kind of hit in my head. I know there is a waiting period to purchase a new suppressor, but how does it go with the auction?
Same exact process, except for walking in and picking it out and paying said price. On the auction, you are going to win it for whatever you win it for. And then when you come in, we do the same paperwork. Of course, we do that all complimentary. And it's just as if you purchased it in a store. You just actually picked it out online and won it on the auction.
Okay, so, I mean, the process is still the same. There's no shortcut with the auction, I guess.
No, none at all, unfortunately.
All right, Mike Green with Not Just Guns joining us here. Mike, I want to talk a little bit about turkey season. I know you guys do lots of handguns, lots of the AR platform things, the tactical firearms. You guys have, like, everyday carry accessories, all of that stuff. But we've got turkey season coming up. And I know a while ago we talked about how the traditional shotgun for you guys has really taken a bit of a back seat, but it's still a place where we can find them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You broke up on me. I apologize.
Oh, okay. No, that's okay. I said the traditional shotgun has taken a little bit of a back seat at your store, but it's still a place you can find one if we're looking for one for turkey season.
Absolutely, absolutely. We get a high volume of used turkey or shotguns come in, and you know there's not a specific gun for turkey. It doesn't have to be a camouflage gun. It doesn't have to be a 12 gauge. You can hunt them with a 20 gauge. But believe it or not, everybody I feel is in the last year walked in here and tried to sell or trade a shotgun from the numbers we see. And of course, I'm joking, but. And we get a lot of shotguns through the store. We do sell quite a few new ones. Right now, turkey ammo is flying off the shelf. And you're having a lot of guys that are having us order turkey chokes. And that's something I don't know if people are familiar with, but a full choke compared to a turkey choke, turkey choke's about 30 thousandths of an inch tighter than even a full choke.
That's pretty, I mean, that's, you know, the super full or the extra full choke with turkey hunting. I mean, look, when you're shooting at something that's as dense as a turkey's feathers can be, and you have that one area in around the head and neck area that's You know, looks like the size of a straw of hay at a distance, but even closer is not real big. You need that tight pattern, but when you're shooting close, you need to probably bring that thing down a little bit, because that pattern becomes so tight at a close range that it's like, you know, throwing darts almost.
It is. It is very easily. Guys will take a shot on a turkey that's awful close to them, and they haven't patterned their gun. So they don't know, and miss.
Mike Green joining us here from Not Just Guns on the Conquest Sense hotline. Mike, ammunition has come a long way for turkey hunters as well. I mean, back in the day when I was buying the Remington turkey loads in the camouflage box and in the tree bark box, no less. I still have those. I still use them today because I love that, how that one patterns. But when you're out patterning a shotgun, you want to stay consistent with the load you're using in the field.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And everybody seems they've got a new shotgun shell out this year, a new turkey load, just as with anything else. All the manufacturers are trying to improve, do something, you know, better, newer, more effective.
Mike Green joining us here from Not Just Guns on Wild Michigan. Mike, I know you're a competition shooter, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but have you done much turkey hunting yourself?
Yes, up until I became a gun store owner, I found that the time isn't there now, but I love to. I've been blessed to call all my nephews, first birds in for them. It's something we used to hold pretty cherished, pretty highly. We'd do a week just like deer camp every spring up at the family property, and we'd all get together, and it's something I wish I had time to still do.
It trust me, man. It's even when you're calling, I think it can be a bit more special for the person calling in, for somebody that's never gotten a bird or has never had a bird in really close. I honestly think that can be more special than actually hunting it yourself.
Oh, definitely. I'd enjoy calling just as much as actually shooting. Love to do it.
Mike Green joining us here from Not Just Guns here in Mason, Michigan, Cedar Street at 127. A super busy day for Mike today. You can find their online auctions at notjustguns.com. Those happen on Wednesday nights. Mike, real quickly, we got a few minutes left in this segment. You said there sometimes are better than others when it comes to putting your firearm up for auction. And now we're in that tax time. And it seems, you know, that sometimes if somebody's looking, they got a little extra cash in their pocket. The Christmas bills are pretty much starting to go away, and that return is coming. So, and now, I mean, your selection's got to be pretty doggone good right now as well.
It is. It's amazing. We get an insane amount of firearms in here that were used, selling for consignment or with stuff we bought or traded for, and along with new guns. But each day we're going through a couple hundred firearms. It's just crazy. And the numbers go up when we have that disposable income in our pocket. Winter months seem to be better for the shooting industry as far as the retail side of it. But right now, it's crazy how many guns are coming and going. If you've got a used gun that you want to get rid of before we run out of tax season here, now's the time. They're not sitting long.
NotJustGuns.com is where you can find Mike Green, and we're talking to him right now. Mike, if you don't mind, we're going to put you on hold for just a minute or two. I'll let you scramble around a little bit, and we're going to come back and talk with you some more, because competition shooting season is coming up. Now, mind you, I've seen it done. I've not done it, but it's a great way to hone your skills, and I'm kind of figuring that that would be a good thing to talk about for those who have never been involved with that, so hang on. Speaking with Mike Green, Not Just Guns in Mason, on the Conquest Sense hotline. We are being brought to you by the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Welcoming them. They got a big event coming up at the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort this weekend, and some other events are coming as well that we want to tell you about here. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. We'll be right back.
Nick Munch of Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, book knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by Not Just Guns in Mason. Mike Green, notjustguns.com is where you can find him and his crew. A great bunch of people. And I will say this time and time again, they are the good guys in the gun business. And it's you know what? I've been to a lot of gun shops, and you know, some, I'm just going to say some have given me that look like, what are you doing here? And, you know, and I've said that, and there's a lot of people that have agreed with me, but and Not Just Guns, it's not like that. They are a friendly bunch of people. They're very helpful. They're very, very knowledgeable, and they will find what you want and what fits your needs, not what fits their shelves and their inventory that needs to be reduced. It's not like that, and Not Just Guns. So, and that's why we bring Mike on here once a month. We try and get him on, and we're going to go into a field where Mike is probably more comfortable than anything else, and that's the competition shooting field. Mike, and you know, we talked about this briefly off air. There are a lot of fields of competition shooting, and it's not like just quick draw, you know, single action shooting things. You know, I mean, there's steel targets, there's distance shooting, there's black powder, traditional black powder stuff. I mean, there's a lot of areas as to where you could go and still call it competition shooting.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've got everything from the cowboy action shooters all the way to the long distance competitive shooting, where they're more of like sniper challenge, where you've got unknown distances. They've got stuff for the kids. They've got the rimfire challenge. I have several places that do that each month here in Michigan. You've got steel challenge. You can use 22 pistol, rimfire rifle. You can do your carry gun. You can do a wheel gun. There's all kinds of stuff. USPSA, IDPA. There's three gun. If you want to do a little more tactical stuff, you've got ACT, the American Confederation of Tactical Shooters. That's a two gun, rifle, pistol. There's something for everybody.
You know, now the kind of competition I would probably be most comfortable at is going out and shooting and have that guy off camera smacking an iron pan.
Just,
so it sounds like I'm hitting the steel every chance. but let's talk about what you do and what you found to be enjoyable for you, just so people can get a basic idea, because this is something that, you know, even for the most early beginning stages of shooting, this all comes down to one thing, and that's honing your skills.
It is. It's all training. And some people look at it as they want to be the best. We have a lot of shooters that just they shoot it to see themselves grow. If we're looking at times and scores, some people want to be the best. Some people just want to use it as training and practice and see themselves improve. And that score, that time, gives them a benchmark. I like to shoot steel challenge. Not as young as I was, being 50 this year, having back surgery, I don't like the super aggressive crawl on the ground, shooting from funny positions and a bunch of running and all that. I like steel challenge because it gives me a stationary platform where I'm standing still, and I've got five targets to shoot from a draw as fast as I can. That's fun for me. It doesn't take a lot of gear, so we get a lot of our customers to dip their toe in the competition pond, per se, by coming out and trying steel challenge. But we do shoot some two-gun and three-gun. It's just a lot of fun.
You know, that steel challenge, and I've seen that, you know, where guys will come up and they've got that the timer box behind their ear, and they go and they shoot, and, you know, it marks their time. And you know what? For me, for someone that doesn't shoot that much, I would like to do something like that just to hone my skills, as we talked about, as to get better, more comfortable with my firearm as well.
Absolutely. And believe it or not, we've got youth that are doing it, youngsters, you know, 12, 13. We've got some senior citizens doing it. We have some handicapped people doing it from motorized scooters. It's a lot of fun, and it does not require a ton of gear. A working good firearm, something that's going to, you can shoot fairly well, a couple extra magazines and some ammo. a holster. That's it.
Sounds like it. Definitely sounds like a good time. And to hear that plink after you've shot, that to me brings a big smile to my face. One, because it's success. Two is because you know you're on the right track.
Absolutely, instant gratification. You know you hit it. Mike, once you start shooting steel, you don't want to shoot paper much anymore.
Mike Green, Not Just Guns, is joining us here. What type of firearm are you using? And again, this is personal preference when it comes to this. Give me the layout as to what you're shooting with Steel Challenge.
For Steel Challenge, I shoot in open class, which is pretty much you can run a compensator and optic. I've shot STI and CZ. The last 2 years, I went back to Glock. I carry a Glock, so I've been shooting Glock, kind of just lens extra training, like we talked about. And then I shoot PCC, which is pistol caliber carbine. Shoot a little JP rifles, a little custom 9mm AR that takes Glock mags. So I have one ammo, one set of mags. I can shoot both guns. It's a lot of fun.
You know, it really brings down the cost of things, too. I mean, 9mm not being terribly expensive and to not have special magazines, being able to switch out on a drop of a hat, basically, that's pretty impressive as well.
It is. I like to keep it simple and affordable. I mean, we all work hard for our money, and if we can stretch that shooting session or that range session or competition out just a little bit more by shooting more economical rounds or ammo, by all means. Like I say, a lot of people do it in 22. Half of my employees shoot at least one 22 gun every match, not two.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. And 22 ammunition, not what it was in the previous administration. Timeline-wise, we don't have that shortage, that mystical shortage of 22 ammo.
Correct. There's plenty of it. We stock lots of it and sell lots of it. Everything from inexpensive to match ammo and everything in between.
Mike Green, Not Just Guns, joining us here on Wild Michigan. Mike, I know you've got a busy day. It's been great having you on, man, and I will let you get back to the auction that happened last night here.
I appreciate it. We've still got invoices to pull. We open in about 30 seconds, so I appreciate, as always, you having me on.
Absolutely. Mike Green, Not Just Guns, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks so much for being a part of Wild Michigan.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right, man. Take care. NotJustGuns.com is where you can find Mike and his crew. Find the online auction as well. They are located Cedar Street 127 in Mason. So if you're hopping off the Mason exit, it is the Cedar Street exit. And from whichever way you go, just go east about half a block, and they will be right there on the south side of Cedar Street facing it. And they have got a huge selection. They are great people in the gun business, and they have been so helpful to me. They can sell your firearm. They can give you ideas as to maybe you want to upgrade, or maybe upgrade what you already have to some special accessories. They have got a huge amount of everything in the store at Not Just Guns in Mason, Cedar Street at 127. I'm Duran Martinez. We're going to join Jake Romanek coming up, Fishing 411 TV. You're going to talk a little walleye, maybe a little big water salmon here as well. We are Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
It's green and gray and black and brown.
I still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks so much to Mike Green from Not Just Guns for joining us here on the show. And want to, again, welcome our newest sponsor of the show, United Deer Farmers of Michigan. We'll have a link up on our website, which is wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up our podcast there and find out the truth about CWD through that link for United Deer Farmers of Michigan as well. Their website and their information that they're putting together through their findings, even though they are breeding big facilities, they're still dealing with deer, and they're still, I think they are financially better prepared to focus on this than our own governmental resources, because there's more private money involved, and working together with, you know, our governmental resources as well to figure out what the hell we're going to do about CWD. Okay, so that's a big issue still here in the state, and we'll talk more about that. But right now, speaking with us on the Conquest Sense Hotline, we've got Jake Romanek, Fishing 411. Welcome back, sir. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you go. I was going to say, it was such a good intro.
Sorry, man. Right. I don't know what's going on. I got good service on my end.
Yeah, so do I. Well, you know what? We're just going to roll with that intro and then and find out what's going on with you. We're winding down consumer show season coming up. We've got the big fishing show next week in Grand Rapids. That big show is coming on. The ultimate sports show is coming to Grand Rapids, but you are still doing consumer shows and seminars and the like before you really hit the water in earnest.
Yeah, but, you know, this year we've been very blessed with an early spring, so I've been on the water now for the last couple of weeks. There's been a lot of good fishing, so we've kind of gotten into a mixture of consumer shows, fishing, getting ready for the filming season for the next year. We're actually shooting season 15 right now, so it's just kind of all jumbled together. But when the fishing's as good as it's been here lately, you don't have a choice but to go fishing.
Well, you know, that's just it. I mean, a lot of people I know, some people are setting up their boats, their new boats for the new season. But, you know, you guys, I've been watching you on the Facebook, and you've been pulling some monster fish. And it's got to be kind of a bonus to be able to get out this early.
It is. It really is. The Saginaw River's been fishing really good here on the last couple of weeks, and it's kind of a blessing because the Saginaw River doesn't always open up, meaning that the ice doesn't always open up and you can't fish it before the season closes. But this year we had a pretty mild winter, and so what comes with that is the fact that we can get on the Saginaw River early before the season closes. The 15th is the last day to fish. So these walleyes are all coming up the river right now. There are, I mean, thousands of walleyes coming up the system. So it's an incredible time to go out there and catch a bunch of walleyes.
Now, you've been getting some big walleye, too, if the pictures don't lie, and they usually don't, right?
No, there's good fish there. You know, when you think of the Saginaw River or the Saginaw Bay system, you think of smaller fish, and that's kind of unfortunate because there are a lot of big walleyes in that system. And early spring, like right now, is a great time to target those fish because what you're getting are Lake Huron fish that live out in Lake Huron all year long, are coming into the river to spawn right now. So it's kind of a small window to get to catch those fish before they go out to the big lake. But you can use literally any size boat. I saw little 12-foot John boats out on the river this last weekend. Anything just to get out there and have a shot at catching some of the biggest fish of your life.
You know, and that's it. Jake Romanek is our guest here speaking to us on the Conquest Sense Hotline. Jake, I've fished the Detroit River in early spring, and it is literally anything you could put on the water that will be there. Yeah. I mean, I've seen like the old 50s bat boat with the big steering wheel, you know what I mean, out on the boat. It doesn't matter as long as you can get something safely floating on the river. Those fish are there and in abundance, and it's going to be great to get before the season.
Yeah, and I love it. I mean, it's an incredible time. Spring fishing is by far my favorite time of the year to fish. And just the amount of the diverse of people that you see, I mean, you literally see when you're talking about fisheries like the Detroit River, you'll see $100,000 boats all the way down to $100 boats and everything in between. And it's an opportunity to catch fish literally running 500 yards offshore, and you can catch fish.
Yeah, I think you're being rather kind with that $100 figure. I've seen some $99.95ers on the water.
Hey, whatever it takes, man.
Exactly. Hey, look, I just want to say this in all seriousness. There is no judgment on my part. Look, at all. I don't care about your camouflage. I don't care about your boat. As long as you're out there safely having fun and doing what you love, that's what matters, okay? I just want to make that clear right now. I mean, we can all joke with each other and about each other, and the time we can't do it is the time you need to get the heck out of the business. But Jake, this has been, speaking of business, a lifelong business for you. You are what I consider the next generation in the line of personality-driven outdoors folks. Now, mind you, the outdoors industry as entertainment is like a microcosm of the entertainment world, Okay, just because we see it doesn't mean the world sees it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the fishing industry is pretty much what I primarily work in. I hunt for fun. I'm just an outdoorsman all around. I love to be outside. I love to hunt. I love to fish. But fishing is what I've made my business, and just very blessed. It's been a family business, and I was able to step in and work in this business. And it's cool to see the business side of it, because when you see it on paper, it looks, wow, that's really cool. That guy gets to fish for a living. But there's a lot of business on the side of it, too. So it's really cool to get to see the business side of the fishing industry. But then I also get to fish. And the truth of the matter is just like you were saying before, it doesn't matter what kind of boat you have, what kind of equipment you have. We all like to fish. It doesn't matter what walk of life you come in. You probably have fished at some point in your life. And it's cool. I get to sell fun. So I wake up every morning selling fun.
You know, it is. Jake Romanak is our guest here, Fishing 411 TV. Jake, a number of years ago, not that long ago, I was able to MC the Dick's Sporting Goods platform at the Bassmaster Classics for a few years in a row. And my very first classic, I was really shocked to see average Joe bass boat that, you know, even by remotely new standards, these boats look really kind of outdated. But here, this guy, he's a tournament angler in the Classic, and his shot is as good as anyone else's, as good as Van Damme, as good as Jordan Lee or you know, Ike or anybody else. His shot is as good as anybody else's in that Classic, and that was amazing to me.
Absolutely, and the bass world has kind of been, I guess, jumbled around here a little bit with the whole Major League Fishing and the BASS and all that mixture. And if you're a bass fisherman interested in getting into the bass industry, it's a great time to do that right now, because BASS, which used to be the absolute top tier in those elite bass fishermen, there's now openings there for people that have never had those openings just because it was filled up with all the other quote-unquote professional fishermen. So there's great opportunities in bass right now. If guys have always wanted to be a bass fisherman, here's your opportunity to really make a name for yourself.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, and they come from everywhere. Heck, my neighbor, Chad Pipkins, is on the tour. You know, and the kid from Holt, Michigan, that I never knew existed until I went down to the Classic. And believe me, it was a chuckle. I'm like, wait a minute, dude, I live in Holt. And he kind of looked at me like I was lying to him. You know? It was just a small town just outside of Lansing. But again, it proves if you work hard enough, you can get anywhere. And Jake, this has not been handed to you either, because fishing is fishing, and it's not catching all the time.
Business side of it, you know, you got a lot of big corporate companies that you're working for, so you have the corporate side of things. And so we get kind of stretched thin as far as going to different companies. We have 8 level one sponsors on the television show. I love every one of them, and we've created a family relationship with every one of the companies we're working with. But it's almost like I have 8 bosses pulling me in 8 different directions. So there's times where it gets a little bit hectic.
Well, I totally agree. Jake Romanak is joining us here. I tell you what, Jake, I'm going to put you on hold for just a minute, and I'm going to yap a little bit while we get ready for the next segment. Next segment, I want to talk to you about what's possibly coming up for the big water, for salmon fishing, because I know that's something else that you have a family passion for, and talk about that as well. So if you don't mind hanging on, it'd be great.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, man. We are speaking with Jake Romanak here on the Conquest Sense Hotline. Keep in mind, the 21st of this month of March, we will be at the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort for the Commemorative Bucks of Michigan event. Would you like to go on us? Hit us up on our Facebook page. Would you please? We'd love to see you there. I'll be your MC. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the Great Lakes State at wildmichiganradio.com and all over the world as well via our website, our Facebook page. And like I mentioned, closing segments of the closing minutes of the last segment, the Commemorative Bucks of Michigan is having their annual fundraiser and banquet, this time going to be happening at the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. I am happily going to be your MC for this big event. Lots of guns to be given away, lots of great prizes, lots of things to be auctioned off. It'll happen on the 21st at Soaring Eagle. And if you'd like to go, tickets are selling, and they're selling at record rates. But I've got a table that if you would like to go, hit us up on our Facebook page, because we're going to draw four winners for two tickets each to fill a Wild Michigan table, and you can join us there at the event. We would love to see you there. We'd love to send you for free. So that being said, get on the Facebook page, like our page, and then check out Commemorative Bucks of Michigan. BuckFacts, BuckFacts.com is their website to join us for this this grand event. I love it. I got to MC it last year, doing it again this year, and I'm very happy to be on board with Marty and Mike and everybody over there. Now, getting back to Jake Romanek, Fishing 411 TV, going into your 15th season of educational fishing, Jake, and you were awful young when that whole thing started. I mean, look, dude, let's be honest. You are not old now. Let's just call this what this is. You're a young fellow with more experience in your lifetime than mine and several other people's combined.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I kind of stepped into this being that it was a family business, but we're shooting season 15 right now for Fishing 411. I'm 25 years old, so I was literally just a kid, and I guess I'm kind of still just a kid. I never grew up. Literally, when I was just a little kid in elementary school and the teacher says, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" I said, "I want to be my dad," and I never grew up. I wanted to be my dad from day one, and now I'm getting to walk in his shoes and kind of live the dream a little bit, so it's been cool.
It is. You know, your dad, Mark Romanek, I mean, look, he has been an innovator in this industry and has helped thousands of people, you know, become better at what they love.
Cool to be able to grow up and watch this whole process. And really what we try to do is I've never stood up on a pedestal and said, I'm a better fisherman than you, because there's always better fishermen than me and there's better fishermen than everybody. Somebody's better than the next guy in different applications. It's all about helping the average guy that's got a normal job, that maybe only gets to fish one day a week, maybe only gets to fish one day a month, but while he's out there maximizing his time on the water and be able to catch as many fish as possible. And that's what it's all about. When we shoot an episode, what I want is I want someone to be able to watch that show. I want them to get all the information they need and go out and do exactly what we did. And I feel like I don't hold anything back from the episode. I want them to know everything, because I want you, I want everybody to be a more successful angler on the water.
Jake Romanek is joining us here, Fishing 411, along with his father, Mark, doing that television show. Now, let's talk about big water salmon. We didn't have the freeze over on the lakes that we did last year, I do believe. And, you know, we didn't have the, well, hopefully we won't have that wet spring that we had and summer that we had last year, raising levels. I mean, it was nice to get those lake levels up, but it really changed fishing around a lot. Now, let's look at 2020 here, where we didn't have the cover. We, you know, we may, you know, have the water levels come down to a more recognizable place. And how do you think that's going to affect the fishing this year? I mean, I know there's a lot of factors with food sources and whatnot, but I mean, just kind of looking into the future ball there, what do you think?
Well, I think that the fish are going to be spread out, but right now, starting now going in through the month of April, is going to be your best time to catch king salmon in Lake Michigan on the Michigan shoreline. So basically what happens, even though we didn't have an ice cover, the water is still cold. So every king in the system is in the southern end of Lake Michigan right now. So what it does is it takes every fish that's in the lake and shoves them down into one little corner of the lake. So springtime fishing for king salmon in Lake Michigan is by far the best time to target these kings. It's easy to get to them. You don't have to run very far offshore. And they're not very deep. For the most part, they're in the top 50 foot of the water column. Places like Benton Harbor, St. Joe, are going to be on fire here in the next couple of weeks for cohos. Guys are already catching cohos right now. And then, you know, a little bit later, normally that first week of May, is when those kings really start kicking off. So we're not that far off for some really good salmon fishing. But there is good things. There's a silver lining, and the silver lining is when we have super cold winters, we have very bad natural reproduction on alewives. So this year should be a very good year for natural reproduction on alewives, meaning that there'll be more bait in the system, which is never a bad thing.
You know, you bring up that fish, their food source, the alewife. Back in and I bring this up on occasion, back in 1966, there was a Michigan Outdoors magazine or a Michigan Conservation magazine that was talking about the invasive species called the alewife, how it was going to be a detriment to the Great Lakes, how it was going to be a problem. Here we are 50 years later, and we're...
Things to this, we've had some bad invasive species that haven't been good for our system. We've had some that have created, in a roundabout way, the alewife created a $6 billion industry. So, I mean, even though it's bad, we made, you know, lemons, we made lemonades out of lemon, I guess. It ended up being a good thing. So we were able to introduce king salmon into the system, and then that grew and created this huge industry for the whole west side of Michigan.
Yeah, and it's been a great industry, I mean, to be a part of. I mean, as far as an angler myself, going out there and for the industry itself, for the economy, it's been great because our Great Lakes are such an amazing natural resource that we have built lifestyles as recreational anglers. I mean, look, we have a whole industry because of recreational anglers, and that's going to be... that's going to be a lot of these towns' bread and butter for years to come, as long as that fishery holds out.
And I think it will. I think that the DNR is doing a great job, in my opinion. They're slowly starting to bring fish back into the system. Wisconsin stepped up and are stocking more fish this year. And so we won't see it this year, but we'll see it in the years to come. But those fish that they're putting in Wisconsin will still come to the southern end of Lake Michigan. So we're still going to catch those fish in the springtime. And then as the summer progresses, those fish will spread out. The one thing about the Lake Michigan system as a whole, if you look at it, the Michigan side of Lake Michigan, we have sandy soils, which means we have clean runoff. And on the Wisconsin side, they have farmland, which means they have a lot of agricultural runoff, which creates more plankton, which is what alewives feed on. So it's just kind of all, you know, the baby alewives are feeding on the plankton. So it's all about that food chain you learned in elementary school. The Wisconsin side is a little bit more organic than the Michigan side. But there's still a ton of fish to be caught on the Michigan side. I grew up seeing the best of the best in salmon fishing, and even though it's not as good as what it was 10 years ago, to say you can't go out there and catch fish is crazy. There's absolutely kings to catch. And last year, some of the biggest salmon I've ever caught in my life, I caught last year on Lake Michigan.
And that's, you know, that's encouraging as well to hear that, especially if somebody's on the water as much as you guys are. It's encouraging to hear that some of the biggest, some of the best fishing is still yet to come. Jake Romanak is our guest here, Fishing 411 TV. Of course, he is a captain on the Great Lakes out there, pro the walleye angler and an informational speaker, all these great things at the age of 25. And you know what? It doesn't matter how old you are, the information that you're getting from anyone, you have to let yourself allow it to happen. Okay, I mean, there's a lot of old school guys and gals out there that, oh, what's this kid? No, trust me, this kid's on this show for a reason, because I need his information. I get to pick his brain, and I'm very happy to share that info with you. Real quickly, Jake, I want to talk about water temps, because air temps are, you know, they're warming up a little bit, but the water temp isn't going to hurry up to that speed.
Hope it doesn't. It's a good thing. When we have springs where it takes a longer time for the water to warm up, we have better fishing. If we end up getting super warm weather and the water warms up very quickly, what happens is our springtime fishing gets shortened. If you have those springs where it takes a while to warm up, takes the water time to warm up, then you have spring fishing that lasts months, basically meaning we have April, May, and then all of June still I would consider spring fishing. So I hope that it takes some time. I'm the kind of guy that likes a nice, cool, slow warm up in the spring, because it makes the water warm up slower and keeps our fishing good.
Well, for selfish reasons, I kind of like a slow warm up myself. Being a big feller, I don't like the heat too much. So
I'm with you, buddy.
But man, as always, Jake, it's always great to have you here. Fishing 411 TV, his dad, Mark Romanak. Dude, thanks so much for sharing your knowledge with us here on the show. Jake Romanak here on Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to our sponsors, Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, Conquest Scents, makers of VS1 and, of course, Evercom, and United Deer Farmers of Michigan, welcoming them to the mix as well. Don't forget the 21st Commemorative Bucks of Michigan will be at the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort on March 21st for their banquet. I'll be your MC. Go to the Facebook page, our Facebook page, to find out how you can win seats with us there. Courtesy of Commemorative Bucks of Michigan and Wild Michigan Outdoors Radio Show.